appreciate, as always, that wonderful greeting. Now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word, and today is in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, all six verses. Excuse me. And God's Word says, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you are angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is this: believers see God as the source and focus of their praise. Believers see God as the source and focus of their praise. First thing I want you to see is that name, in that day. In that day, theologians define as that day is that day of God's judgment, when God comes to reclaim or to refurbish, restore, I should say, the earth in that final time of judgment. And that earth is restored and brought back into that state of righteousness and holiness that God created it, that state of goodness in which God created it. And so this world and its struggles, I want you to understand right off, this world and its struggles is not the whole story. We are so well tied to this earth. Scripture says we're made out of the dust of the earth, if you remember that particular part. And so because we are so well tied and so deeply engrossed into this world, we are allowing and we are fixed on the things that are happening around us. But this isn't the whole story, and that's what God wants us all to understand. The suffering that we're going through now, the struggles and trials that we're going through now, this is not the whole story. Isaiah starts out by saying, in that day you will give thanks to the Lord. Why is that? Because then you can look back on all of those things that God has brought you through. You'll be able to look back on all of those things, like your salvation, like the Spirit that continues to persevere around us and in us, that keeps us safe, that keeps us secure, by that Word of God that was given to us to correct us, to strengthen us. All of those things that we may be taking for granted now, Isaiah says, in that day, you can look back. I remind us from time to time, remind all of us, including myself from time to time, that faith is something that is generally made stronger when we are on the other side of whatever it is that we're struggling with. Faith is made stronger when we can look back and see how God provided for us as we struggle through this particular time of darkness, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. We all have those. And so in that day, we can look back on all of that and we will see how God so generously provided for us through all of those times of darkness. What Satan wants us to do now is to have our attention diverted away from the things of God and the building of that relationship, and be diverted by all of these things that are happening around us today. The upheaval in our country, the stuff that's going on in the world, the stuff that's going on in your personal life, whatever it may be, we want that. Satan wants that so well fixed in front of us that we lose sight of the fact that God is continuing to provide for us, even though we feel like this is that time of struggle, that time of lacking that we're going through. We fail to see how God continues to generously provide for us, even in our times of struggle and uncertainty. We need through that time to to continue to focus our attention on that relationship, that we will make it stronger. Matthew 6 reminds us of that when Jesus says, "Don't worry about tomorrow," he says, "for each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will have its own worries." Why is Jesus wanting us to focus on today? Because today is the day that we have before us. What you do today affects what happens tomorrow. What you do today will affect what happens tomorrow. So focus on today. Get through today. See today for the struggles that it has in and of itself. Tomorrow will bring its own set of struggles. Tomorrow will bring its own set of concerns. Jesus wanted us to focus on today and take it one day at a time. Faith, a lot of times you've heard it described as having a flashlight at your feet. It's not like you have some stadium lighting system illuminating your path so that you can see 3 miles ahead of you. The faith that we have with Christ a lot of times is just having that dim flashlight so that we can see the next step. And that's what he wants us that's how he wants us to walk with him. See the next step. Do the next thing. Do the right thing. Do the next right thing. And continue to go through and live through all of this persecution, the struggles, all of the fear, the anxiety, the loneliness, all of these things that may be trying to divert your attention from the relationship that God is offering to his people. That relationship of love and strength and joy that he wants his people to have. All of this stuff of life is only temporary. And Isaiah starts this chapter off by reminding us that in that day you'll be able to look back and you will see how God used all of these things to build us up, to strengthen us, to sustain us. God's grace will also comfort us and be the source of our strength. So how is grace the source of our strength? We are promised every day. Lamentation says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The stuff of life that we face every day, that sustaining grace is that grace that God gives to us to endure the ill-tempered bosses, the ill-tempered people that, you know, that want to make our life miserable. We encounter the stuff of life and the stress of work, the stress of children, the stress of providing for a household, those kinds of daily struggles that we all have. Mercy falls fresh every morning is what Lamentations is saying us. In other words, your struggles will never outgrow the mercies that God gives to us to enable us to stand up under all of the stuff that life wants to throw at us. The stuff that life throws at us will never exceed the amount of mercy and grace that God has for those who put our faith and our trust in Him and walk faithfully with Him, even if it is only one step at a time, one day at a time. That day you will have the grace that you need to endure that day in our faith. The second type of grace that God gives to us is that supernatural grace. And that supernatural grace comes into play in the tragedies of life. We all have those kinds of things from time to time. That is more than just the daily struggles. It's that supernatural grace that we need to meet those big, sudden, tragic events that come into our lives. And the first thing that I want us all to be encouraged and to remember is that to walk faithfully with God through a tragedy, an individual first has to have that deeply rooted faith that God is a good God and knows how to give good gifts to His children. That is a promise from Scripture, that God is a good God and knows how to give good gifts to His children. That has to be deeply rooted in our hearts if we are going to hold up under the tragic events of our lives and allow those tragic events to be used by God to continue to build us up. He has promised to be faithful with that supernatural grace in those times. I want to use that verse from Scripture that I shared with the children there. That verse from Psalms 23:4. that says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now I want to focus on those two words, rod and staff. There's a book out by Philip Keller, and it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I really love that book. I don't generally promote books, but if you'd like to get it, it's been out for a while. It's probably cheap. There's no high language in it. It's just a succession of object lessons where a man who has a career of being a shepherd or sheep herder uses this psalm to speak God's truth. And in that particular part I was reading, and this comes from Keller, he says that he remembers seeing African shepherds, and they would go out and they would take great care to form and fashion that rod. Now a rod was like a club. And so they would take and they would find a sapling that suited their needs. They would dig up the sapling, not cut it off, but they would dig it up. So if you remember how a tree grows, and the bottom, the base of the sapling is larger than the than the portion of the sapling up toward the top. And so they would keep that clump down there, and they would form and fashion it into a club. And they became very skilled at using these rods. In fact, they would have contests sometimes, he said, to see how far and how accurately you could actually throw the club. And just like I shared with the young people there today, if a sheep got out of line, that club could be thrown and direct that sheep and get them back into line to keep them with the flock, all for their protection. That rod was also a source of protection whenever a predator came to cause havoc or to harm the sheep. And that rod was used to beat off that predator. And it was a very important part of that shepherd's arsenal. So that rod, in Keller's words there, was for protection and correction and security. Just like we have the Word of God today that serves as that rod. It is our source of protection. It is our source of security. Because if we stay in that Word of God, we will be familiar with it, and we will be able to use it as a source of defense when Satan throws his attacks upon us. We remember how Jesus in the wilderness defended God's truth whenever Satan was tempted him. And when he was tempted by Satan on three different occasions, he used God's word to refute that temptation. We are to build up within us a reserve of God's word so that the Spirit can use that reserve when we are tempted to fight off these temptations. So that Word of God then becomes our rod in a sense, and that is, it secures us, it anchors us, it gives us the protection that we need because it instructs us. The second part of that shepherd's arsenal was the staff. The staff, of course, was that what we remember seeing from Christmas plays and various others. It was that crooked part of the crooked implement that the shepherd could use. And Keller says he remembers seeing shepherds deftly taking little baby sheep that had just been born, and they could hook them so gently with that staff, and move them closer to their mothers. That staff could also be used to draw that sheep closer to the shepherd and keep that sheep in contact with relationship with that shepherd. And so both that rod and that staff becomes our protection, our correction, but also the drawing and the guiding. And we know that the Spirit of God is used liberally by God to continue to draw us closer to Him as that Spirit speaks to us and guides us through those dark valleys. And he had a very beautiful thought there that I shared with the Sunday school class this morning. You know, we all want to be on the mountaintops, and we think of that mountaintop of experience as being that grand and glorious. We're happy, we're in the sunshine, and we generally think of valleys as being some dark and lonely and desperate place whenever we're in that valley. And we all want to be on the mountaintops. But he said in order for the sheep to reach the mountaintop, The shepherds took them through the valleys. And he said, think about this, the nature of a valley. In that valley, you have that depression where generally a stream comes through because water collects and provides there that source of refreshment that the sheep needed in order to get up to that mountaintop. There was also, as the nutrients would be washed down those sides, they would accumulate in those rich, fertile bottoms in that valley. And they would have great grass for the sheep to dine upon and to nourish them for that journey. And so he says, don't discount the work of God in those valleys, because it is in those valleys that we are nourished by the hand of God in order to allow us to walk through them and to reach those mountaintops. So those valleys are a place of God's provision for us. They are not places of desperation for the child of God that has his or her spiritual ears and eyes open and our faith and our focus planted firmly on our God. Those valleys are not places that want to take us away from God. Those valleys are places where God, just like that loving shepherd, takes us through from time to time in order for us to be nourished and strengthened and replenished, so that that mountaintop experience becomes even more joyful, even more enriching for us. And the last thing here is, because of his forgiveness and grace, God becomes our song of joy. I want to close out with the words from Charles Spurgeon. What does it mean for God to be our song? "The Lord is my song," he writes. That is to say, the Lord is the giver of our songs. He breathes the music into the hearts of his people. He is the creator of their joy. The Lord is also the subject of their songs. They sing of him and all that he does on their behalf. The Lord is, moreover, the object of their song. They sing to the Lord. Their praise is meant for him alone. They do not make melody for human ears, but to the Lord. The Lord is my song. Then I ought always to sing. And if I sing my loudest, I can never reach the height of this great argument, nor come to the end of it. This song never changes. If I live by faith, my song is always the same, for the Lord is my song. Our song to God is God himself. He alone can express our most intense joy. O God, you are my exceeding joy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are my hymn of everlasting delight. Let God be your song. Let him fill you with his joy. Let your faith be sustained and grown and nourished, even in the darkest of valleys that he's leading you through. Remember those words from Psalm 23, and let the rod of God's word and the staff of his loving spirit continue to guard and guide you on this journey, to nourish you in the riches of that valley, so that you can experience with the joy of the song of the Lord when you hit that mountaintop. So that in that day, as Isaiah says, you can look back and see how God sustained you and loved you and provided for you and nourished you throughout your entire lives, throughout your entire journey. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this day for your grace. We thank you this day for your love. We thank you this day for the valleys that you use to nourish your flock. We ask that you will mold us into the sheep that we need to be, to see the valleys not as something to fear or to avoid, but to be used mightily by your hand to feed us, to strengthen us, to sustain us, to enrich us, to let us know how much you love us. Father, may that be our joy. May that be our song. And we ask this in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.